Invite you to turn again to Nehemiah, and we'll be in the fourth chapter this week in this time. Now, I grew up on stories of Tom and Jerry, Roadrunner and Coyote. Anybody wonder where Acme came from? I think it's Amazon. Batman and the Joker. Superman and Lex Luthor. The Dallas Cowboys and Steelers. Boo. You know, you always have this contrast of opposition versus the main character. And if you look into stories in the Bible, you have Adam and Eve, and they're going about serving God in the Garden of Eden. And all of a sudden, the serpent comes and resists them and distracts them from doing what God had called them to do. Then you go further, and it's Moses and Pharaoh, David and Goliath. And if you can, there's constant struggle, opposition that's popping up throughout the stories within the Old Testament. And then you look into the New Testament, and you have Jesus has Herod, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, Judas, the devil, demons, and all these other haters that come up constantly to oppose him. But in Nehemiah, who we've been looking at this month, who we find he has is Sanballat and Tobiah. And they're among many other leaders that come up to oppose the work that he is about doing. And today I pray this message will be one of encouragement for us. But we're going to start off with looking at some things that can be difficult. And here's what I hope that we'll begin to understand as we look at this story, is that any time that God leads you to do something meaningful, something that will make a difference, something that's generous, something that's lasting and benefits others, what you can expect is some opposition. That you can count on obstacles coming up. It's going to happen. You can expect spiritual resistance to come and to try and slow down what you're doing and what you're about in your work. So here we are in week 3 of this series, and perhaps you're just joining us. So let me give you a quick backstory. We should all know this story by the end of this series. But in a nutshell, Nehemiah is this ordinary guy. He's the cupbearer to the king of Persia. He hears about the plight of his people, and they're 1,000 miles away. They're in this horrible situation. Their city is completely destroyed by the Babylonians 140 years before. It's been in this process of after about 90 years to rebuild, and they haven't gotten very far. And they're stuck. And his heart is breaking for his people, and he realizes that somebody needs to do something. Somebody needs to make a stand, and he realizes that it might as well be him that does something. And so he seeks God. He asks for favor from God, and he approaches the king. And what we find is that he asks, "Can I go back and rebuild this city?" And it's this fascinating tale of that shows a spiritual journey as well as a leadership from a guy that believes that God could use someone like him. And so he goes back and he starts rebuilding the gates and rebuilding the walls. And you read about this throughout chapter 3 of this story. He begins to rebuild the 10 gates that were placed around the city by leading this group of people. They're not necessarily masons. They're not carpenters. They're goldsmiths and merchants and perfume workers. But they start making progress. And for the first time in 140 years, The gates are beginning to rise. The walls are beginning to see progress. And the people start to think, maybe, just maybe, we can do this. But here's the deal. The moment you tend to start doing something that glorifies God, opposition will show up. And we see this in chapter 4, verse 1. All of a sudden, this opposition to Nehemiah and to the Jews shows up from the territories that surround Jerusalem. This key city in this key area all of a sudden starts to rebuild. And the people that have been in charge don't like that. So what we see is this. It says, when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews in the presence of his associates and in the army of Samaria. And he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Now, this word feeble in this Hebrew text actually is this image. It's this word picture that comes to mind. It would be a picture of a flower that has been completely chopped off. It's now dead, essentially. It may have some remnants, but it's effectively dead. It's cut. So when he's saying that they're feeble, he's saying they're hopeless. They're lifeless. They have no chance of rebuilding anything. What are these feeble Jews doing? And he says, will they restore their wall? Will they ever offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heap of rubble, burned as they are? And then Tobiah, the Ammonite, joins in. He says, what are they building? Even a fox can climb up on it and would break down their walls of stone. So when the work begins to happen, opposition shows up. And unfortunately, this is true for all of us at one point or another. Who knows, perhaps in the last few weeks you're moved in a direction of doing something to make a difference, and all of a sudden you find yourself up against some opposition. It could be as simple as you decided to come to church. And for the first time in a long time, you're intent on going, and all of a sudden you're trying to get there, and it seems, have you ever had one of those days where everything just kind of falls apart? I mean, kids are screaming, you can't find the things, cars, you know, starters are dead, who knows? I mean, just everything falls apart, and here you are going to worship God at church, and your heart is anywhere but in preparation. And so you get here and you're not where you need to be in your heart. It could be that you're trying to get out of debt. And you've said in your heart that we're going to pay off these bills and we're going to get out of this horrible cycle. And you know what happens? The moment that you decide that and you begin to make progress, something breaks. The refrigerator, the car, you know, something goes down. And all of a sudden you have this massive repair. It could be that you want to do something and you tell somebody close to you, you know, this is what I really believe God is calling me to do. And the first thing they say is, who do you think you are? You're not qualified. You don't have what it takes. Why are you trying to do this? And so someone that you love shoots you down in what you know God is calling you to do. And what I hope you'll understand as we get into this morning is, don't be surprised when you face opposition. Don't be surprised when you begin to take a step of faith and you see the enemy push back, because advancement invites opposition. The thing about the devil is that he doesn't tend to bother those who are not a threat. If you're walking his way and you're doing his will, cool. He's not going to bother you. He's more than likely going to leave you alone, because but but the thing is, the moment you step away from that, the moment you deviate from the evil one's plan and you start to focus on God and start to do things that God is calling you to do, and you start to put God in your heart, you can expect some spiritual opposition when you do the will of God. Amen. If you don't want opposition, well, let me tell you, then you just coast along, you do your comfortable thing, you focus on the self-centered life. I mean, you may go to church, but you don't engage, you don't pray, you don't serve, you don't give, you don't care about the things of God, you just kind of exist and show up places. If you don't want opposition, then you just stay out of the game and you live that self-centered life, and you may be left out of the trouble. But the thing is, God isn't satisfied with that. God is calling all of us to step up. And God is calling us to serve, to tithe, to pray, to invite, to show love, not just inside the church, but more importantly, as the church, outside in the world around us. And the moment you begin to do that, you should expect to face some opposition. You will have critics. And so Nehemiah, he sees something that needs to happen, and he doesn't just leave somebody else to do it. He steps up and steps out. And Sanballat and Tobiah come, and they decide they're going to try and tear him down. So how do you respond to critics? The answer is, most of the time you don't. That may seem weird, but look at what Nehemiah doesn't do. He doesn't respond, he doesn't answer, he doesn't defend. And what I hope you'll understand as we look at this is that your response isn't going to convert your critics. The only thing a response typically does is validate the critics, because you are acknowledging them and their argument. You actually give them power, and they're not really that important if you don't respond. You ignore them and you keep on doing the work that God has called you to do. Your goal is not to change the critics. Your goal is to do the will of God. You stay above what they say. And it's not easy when you step out and people start to criticize. It's never easy to deal with the haters. But it's even more difficult to deal from the doubt that people closest to you might start giving, who sometimes don't believe in what you're called to do. And this will happen for some. You're going to feel called by God to do something, to take a step of faith, and someone you love, someone you trust, someone that loves you and is going to step out with words that are anything but encouragement. In fact, they're full of discouragement. But don't sell yourself short thinking that you should do something different. Remember, when you step out, opposition steps in. And that's why you need to tell yourself, you know what? I'm not going to be moved by praise or criticism. I'm not going to let praise get to my head, and I'm not going to let criticism get to my heart. I'm not going to be moved by what people think or say. I'm trying to be moved by what God tells me to do. Amen. So here's what Nehemiah knows. He knows that he doesn't answer to his critics, but that he answers to God. And that motivates him. And so instead of engaging to this lower level with Sanballat and Tobiah and their crew, he turns to a higher power. And once again, we see Nehemiah begin to pray. And in rather than it just said, and he prayed to God, it actually gives the text. It says in verse 4, "Hear us, our God, for we are despised." He's saying, we've got these haters that are coming at us. And now watch what he prays. Now, just a quick reminder before we start reading this. This is not how Jesus taught us to pray. But this is exactly how most of us want to pray when opposition comes against us. He says, turn their insults back on their heads. Give them over as plunder into the land of captivity. Don't cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults into the face of the builders. Verse 6. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all of their heart. What Nehemiah did in the face of the opposition is he prayed to God and then he got back to work. He sought the heart of God and then he goes back to work. The wall continues to go up because the people begin to work with all of their heart. There wasn't room for the critics because they were doing the work of God. They weren't lowering themselves and getting down in the muck to fight those who were just wanting to argue about petty things, because their heart and their goal and their lifestyle and their commitment was to a higher thing, a higher calling to do the will of God. So they go out to God in prayer and then they get back to doing the work of God. And what I love about Nehemiah is you see this over and over again. He's both spiritual and he's very practical. He would pray as if everything depended on God, and yet then he would work as if everything depended on him. We can all be both spiritual and practical. We need you, God, to guide our hearts. And we show up to work. We need your direction, O God, and yet we're willing to roll up our sleeves. We need your power, God, and yet we take out the shovels. We need your grace, and yet, God, we're willing to do whatever you call us to do. We take a moment to pray, then we get back to work. Verse 10. In the middle of all this criticism, the people in Judah, Nehemiah's own people, they come to him and they say, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And there's so much rubble that we can't rebuild the wall. Frustration's starting to build, doubt's starting to come. And last week, we begin to see this progress. And in chapter 3, you see this progress. And this week, we see discouragement. And this is exactly what happens so often when we step into what we believe is the will of God. We start to see progress. We get excited. It's starting to move, and then opposition comes. Verse 11. Also our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them, and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. So here we find Nehemiah's people, the very people that are doing the work. They're about the progress. They begin to doubt. They're not just doubting about what others are going to do. They're actually doubting about their own ability to get the job done. Now, I don't know about you, but of all the different types of opposition that I have to face, the most difficult for me is the internal opposition. Amen. It's when my own insecurities start to speak into my life, and things that are, you know, my head gets into it, and all of a sudden I hear these voices in the back of my head saying, who do you think you are? You don't have what it takes. Who do you think you are? Why in the world would you even begin to do these things? And I don't know who this is going to speak to this morning, but there's someone here who's listening more to your insecurities than you are to the truth of God and who He says you are. We've covered this. You are a masterpiece. You're an ambassador. You are called to be a part of what God is doing. Amen. And so you need to listen to who God says you are. But those voices echo and they haunt you, and to the point that you think, maybe I'm not going to be able to get it done, that I'm not good enough, and I'm never going to measure up. But here's the thing I'm learning. The external opposition will only be as loud as your internal insecurities allow them to be. Let me say that again. The external opposition, whatever they say, will only be as loud as your internal insecurities allow them to be. That's why we have to rise above it. That's why we have to keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds focused on Jesus. That's why we don't look to the left or to the right. We keep our hearts focused on the one who has called us and sent us. Amen. It's His work. He is more than capable to see it through. And this is exactly what Nehemiah does. Look to verse 14 of chapter 4. As Nehemiah hears the people, they're discouraged, they're on the verge of giving up, they're giving out, they don't think that it can be fully done. And Nehemiah says, after I looked over the things again, so the leader in him is starting to survey the land and survey the wall and the progress. He says, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Now, he's saying it not just to his own people, but he is saying this to the doubters, to the people that are coming against him in opposition. And he's putting the focus back on God, because he says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. We need to do what Nehemiah does. We need to take the focus off of ourselves and put it on God. He takes the focus off the doubts and he puts it back on God. And he's saying, this isn't our battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. Our God is with us and our God is for us. Remember the Lord. My focus isn't on what they say. I remember that the hand of my God, I remember that when I prayed for months and months and months and God granted the king favor and he turned his heart and let me go. I remember when the king provided both protection and provision to be here. I remember how he blessed me to go out. I remember when God gave me favor with the people and we began to work together. I remember when there was nothing and now the walls are starting to go up. I remember that God has provided it all. That God has made all this possible. Amen. So personally, what I have to do with my life, when these voices start to shout that you're not good enough, who do you think you are? When my faith isn't as high as it should be, and something internally wants me to remember who I was before, to remember my brokenness, to remember my guilt, to remember my shame, to remember the sins of my past, then I must always remember, for by grace you are saved through faith, not by your works. Remember the Lord our God, because when things get tough, and they will, you're going to need to think about something. And God would rather you think about His power than about those who oppose His will.
Amen.
Remember the Lord our God. The greater the opposition, the greater the opportunity for God to fight for you. And Nehemiah says this in verse 14, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Stand up for what you believe in. The goodness of our God. Fight for your families, he says. Fight, you know, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Seems like somebody needs to hear this. Remember the Lord your God and fight for healing. Remember the Lord your God and continue to believe that you can get out of debt. Remember the Lord your God and fight for your marriage. Remember the Lord your God. Fight for your children and for to find freedom in Christ. Keep on fighting that one child that needs a family will find it. Amen. Keep on fighting for the unborn that can't fight for themselves. Keep on fighting for the victims that need healing and need grace and hope, to treat them with dignity and honor and respect in a way that they may have never experienced before. Keep fighting for the lost who need to find Christ. Because whenever you do something that matters, there will be a battle. You will face opposition. And if you're not ready to face opposition for your obedience for Christ, then maybe you're not ready. Period. Because God wants to use you, but you have to give it over to Him and be obedient to Him. God, help me to know my calling. God, help me to do what You've called me to do. God, I don't know. I have to be chosen. I don't have to be chosen by people when I'm called by God. It's not about what man says about who I am. It's all about who God has already told me I am. So I step into His will, and I remember the Lord, and I fight to be obedient to His calling on my life. So what do you do when there's something in the world that just doesn't sit right, and you have this holy discontent? You sit down and cry. You kneel down and pray. You stand up and act. You define the vision clearly. You make plans carefully. You inspire people passionately. And when your enemies show up and they try to slow you down, you remember the Lord your God, and you fight for what God has called you to fight for. You don't give up. You don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Keep on building, one stone at a time, one brick at a time, one moment of faithfulness after another moment, one day after the next day, one week after the next week, and by the power of God and by His grace, you can rebuild the wall. You can be used by God if you won't let the voices or power of the opposition stop you, or slow you, or deter you, or distract you, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So we step into it. We have the power of Christ on our behalf. There are some here today that I fear are listening more to the opposition than to the God that created you, that saved you, and has given you a purpose. Have you laid it at His feet? Have you been willing to say, you know what, it's not about me, it's not about my power, my anything, my plans, it's all about You, God. Because until you do that, you will be defeated. But God has given you a purpose, a plan, something bigger than yourself. And He is more than faithful to accomplish it, day by day. Are you willing to get back up and keep on building that wall? Keep on doing what God is calling you to do. That's your choice. Will you be obedient, or will you listen to the doubters, both externally and internally? Because God has already called you. You are more than capable, because He is more than capable. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, there are times where I struggle because I start listening to the untruths that sometimes surround me. But God, you qualify us by your might, by your power, by your ability, Lord. God, there are some here that are struggling because they listen to the inner voices. They listen to the critics that surround. But God, we pray your Spirit upon them. That they would listen to who you say they are. As their Creator. As the one that gives purpose. As the one that heals. The one that provides and protects. May we live into your truth today. And every day, may we be found obedient as your church to not listen to all the things that tend to want to slow us down. But may we as your church live into the calling that you've given us. To be the church, not just inside the walls, but to be the church in your love and your grace and in your mercy outside everywhere we go. For your church is not confined by walls, but it is empowered by your Spirit. And for this we give thanks. In your name we pray. Amen.